Now, closing our meeting this evening, we've asked the Reverend Paul Foster to come and bring us God's precious word. Our brother is a minister up in Tyndale in Belfast, and we welcome him in the Saviour's name to mourn tonight, and pray the Lord will bless him as he comes now to bring God's truth to us.
If you could turn, please, in the living word of God to Psalm 103, Psalm 103. And as you're turning to the place, could I thank Reverend Patterson for the invitation to be here. It is a privilege and a pleasure. And it's great to see so many gathered out, both young and those that are older. And I trust that as we look at God's word, that it'll be a blessing to your heart as it has been to mine. Psalm 103. And there we read in verse 1, after being told that it is a psalm of David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." We'll end our reading there at verse 12. Perhaps you could stand just for a word of prayer, please. All standing. And I encourage you to ask that the Lord to speak to your heart in these closing moments. Our Heavenly Father, as we settle ourselves before thy precious and living word, Lord, I ask that thou wouldst please and come in these closing moments to speak to every heart here. Lord, I do thank thee for speaking to my heart, but Lord, speak on. And Lord, show us Christ tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray it, that thou wilt do a work tonight that will last for eternity, purifying thy people, and Lord, saving the lost. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question this evening, and it's very simple. This is a prayer service, so why should we praise the Lord? Why should we praise the Lord? Of course, the answer to that is innumerable, because you could praise the Lord for who he is. You could praise the Lord who is not only wise, but who is wisdom itself. Who is not only pure, but is purity. Who is not only loving, but is love. Who is not only gracious, but is grace. You could praise the Lord for many things tonight about who he is. However, as we have read this psalm, or certainly part of it, we're told to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within us, to bless his holy name. Why? For all of his benefits toward us. Who redeemeth our life from destruction, who rewards us not according to our iniquities, but rewards us because of Christ. And I wonder that as you've been listening to those who have sung, have you listened to what they have sung about? Whenever Jenna came to sing, she sang about grace that caught the falling soul. Whenever David came to sing, he sang about how he would only glory in the cross. Whenever the Youth Fellowship sang, they sang "Amazing Grace." How sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. Whenever the Rainey sisters sang, they sang about the Lord Jesus who died for you and me. And then Stephen, he sang about the love that sought me, and the blood that bought me. Why should we praise the Lord for who he is as our Creator? Yes. Praise the Lord for his salvation. Praise him for Christ tonight. And so this evening I want to turn your mind to a commandment that's found in Scripture. It's the ninth commandment, found in Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 16. And there we're told that we're not to bear false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You may ask, well, why on earth would you want to look at a commandment for a prayer service? Well, simply this. Whenever you look at the commandments, you see, first of all, the greatness of our sin. You and I will see just how great sinners we really are, how abundantly we have sinned. But whenever you look at the commandments, not only do you see the greatness of our sinfulness, but you will see the greatness of our Savior. Because the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. While we were yet sinners, rebels in his sight, he died on our behalf. He shed his blood for us. And of course, you will see then, whenever you look at the commandments, the greatness of our salvation. Jesus Christ died not only to forgive us, but he died to free us, to make us like himself. Sin is not freedom, sin is bondage. Christ has died to not only forgive us, but to free us from sin itself. And so tonight I want to give a glance, really, at the ninth commandment. And as I do such, I want you to see the greatness of your sin. Then I want you to see the greatness of the Savior who died. I want you to see the greatness of the salvation that there is. Forgiveness for every one of our sins. Made as white as snow. And we made like him. So let's look at this ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What's the sense of this commandment? Well, the word bear just simply means to carry. And of course, the word false just simply means that which is untrue. So we're told very simply and commanded by God, we're not to carry an untrue witness. We're not to lie. Put it even more simply. We're not to lie. Now, of course, there are those. And they will say that, well, you're not to lie to only certain people. But you can lie to others. For example, you can lie to someone who is against you. You can lie to an enemy. And they will maybe use the passage of Rahab in Joshua about how whenever the children of Israel were coming to conquer Jericho, Rahab was in that city, and whenever the spies went into the city to spy out the city and to spy out the land, Rahab turned around and hid them. And whenever the king's soldiers came to Rahab's house, Rahab lied three times, said, I haven't seen them. I don't know where those men have come from. She didn't know that. She said, you pursue after them and you will catch them. That was lies. However, in the book of Hebrews, Rahab is declared to be a woman of faith and she is commended. And some people say, well, therefore you can lie to anyone or you can lie to certain people anyway. But yet God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Jesus Christ told us to love our enemies. And if that word neighbor in Exodus 20 refers to someone who is not your enemy, then that means you could covet your enemy's wife, you could covet your enemy's house, and that's nonsense. You're not to lie to anyone. You're never to lie. You're never to lie. Whenever Rahab is commended, she's commended for her faith in God. She's not commended for her lying, but the fact that she would trust, believe God's word that judgment was coming, and there was salvation in God. So the sense of this commandment is simple. We're not to lie. But of course, on the other hand, we are to tell the truth. Notice then, secondly, with me, the seriousness of this commandment. Some people think, well, so what does it matter if you tell a lie? What does it matter if you tell a fib? Tell a wee tale? Does it really matter? Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs in the chapter 6. You see, there is a word in Scripture. It is the word abomination. It's used a number of times in the Old Testament to refer to various sins. Sodomy being one. An abomination is that which is abhorrent, disgusting in God's sight, that which he hates. But what about lying? Well, Proverbs chapter 6, you look with me there at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Seven of these things are hateful, disgusting, abominable in his sight. What are they? Verse 17. A proud look. A lying tongue. And verse 19. A false witness, just for emphasis here. A false witness that speaketh lies. Is lying serious? Is telling fibs serious? Yes, it is. That's described here as an abomination in God's sight. You see, in Psalm 31, we're told that God is the Lord God of truth. And if God is pure light, then that means that lying is the exact opposite. Because if God is true, lying, of course, is the opposite of truth. If God is pure light, then lying is darkness. If God is good, lying is evil, utterly evil. It's the exact opposite of God. The exact opposite. Is that not why we're told in the book of Revelation that no one who continues making lies and loves lies will enter into heaven? But more than that, that all liars shall have their part in that lake of fire. Oh, lying tonight is a serious thing. And so tonight, if you have ever told one lie, then you and I deserve God's wrath and deserve God's punishment. You and I do not deserve to stand or sit in this lovely building tonight. You and I deserve to be in that lake of fire. You and I do not deserve to see a beautiful light in the faces of those whom we love. We deserve to see darkness. You and I do not deserve to enjoy pleasure. We deserve pain, to drown in fire. You and I do not deserve to hear singing. We deserve to hear wailing and gnashing. We do not deserve to laugh. We deserve to be bitter and be filled with regret and anger. Not just for a day or two or an hour or two, but for all eternity. For just telling one lie. The wages of one sin is death. We've seen the sense of this commandment. We're not to lie. We've seen the seriousness of it. There is eternal wrath. Well, what's the scope of this commandment? What's the scope of it? How far-ranging is this commandment? Well, of course, the commandments are just, they are the foundational commands of Scripture. There's many other commands in Scripture. But all the other commands in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, they are founded upon these 10 commandments in the book of Exodus. They are the principles on which everything else is based. Whenever you look at all of Scripture, you will see various aspects of this one command, we're not to lie. For example, we're not to lie verbally or vocally. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us to put away lying, to speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're to tell the truth. But let me ask you, have you ever blatantly told a downright lie with your mouth? Can you imagine perhaps whenever you were younger and it was a beautiful sunny day, you'd just come home from school, and you wanted to get out to play. And you were running, and just as you got to the door, your mum turned around and shouted, "Hold on, have you got your homework done?" Yep, all done. And everyone knew rightly you hadn't got it done. And you ran out to play. Oh, sure, it's just a wee thing. It's an abomination in God's sight. What about if you were in work and your boss came to you and said, did you get that thing done that I asked you to do? And you knew it was urgent, but you forgot all about it, and not wanting to get into trouble, you said, yep, all done. I'll give it to you in half an hour's time. Easy to do, isn't it? Easy to come out. God says it's an abomination in his sight. One way, one sin deserves eternal punishment. But you know, you can not only lie verbally and vocally, you can lie practically with your actions. Has there ever been a time when maybe you were helping your mum or your dad, or maybe you were working, and either your mum or dad had left you, or your boss had left you, and you decided to get out your phone, and you were scrolling through your phone, just taking it easy, taking a break, or sitting down, just relaxing, having a daydream. And then when have you heard that your mum or your dad, you heard your boss coming round the corner, is like, "Ooh, quickly, just get back to doing what you were doing." And you're implying that you weren't taking a break at all. You'd been working the whole time. It's so easy. Or maybe you're in your room, you were looking at your computer. Whenever someone came past, you quickly deleted that screen or you removed it. You didn't want them to see it. It's so easy to lie, isn't it? So easy to deceive and to seek to cover up. And yet, if you've ever done any one of those things, or anything similar to it, you and I, we deserve eternal punishment right now. We're not to lie verbally or practically. We're not to lie by exaggeration or by understating the truth. You see, in Jude 16, it talks about those who speak great swelling words. Have you ever been maybe going to a friend's house and you have to be there for a certain time because you have an appointment to be there at, and whenever on your way you got, well, you were 20 minutes late. And you say, I'm so sorry. I got stuck behind a tractor. That's why I'm 20 minutes late. The reality was, you're only stuck behind the tractor for 30 seconds, not for 20 minutes. The reason you were late, because you were just downright late. But you exaggerated the truth. Or maybe you understated the truth. For example, in the book of Exodus, we read about how the Lord commands Moses to go to Pharaoh and to be his mouthpiece. But Moses turned around and said, but Lord, I am not eloquent. I have a slow tongue. I can't speak to Pharaoh. And Lord turned around and said to Moses, Moses, who made man's mouth? Who can make the dumb to speak? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go to Pharaoh. And Moses said, no, oh, you send someone else, Lord. I can't do it. And we read that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I wonder if someone's maybe ever asked you to help out. I said, oh, I can't help out. Maybe someone's asked you to give a testimony. Oh, I couldn't give my testimony. I couldn't serve here. I couldn't help here. But yet God has said, faithful is he that calleth, he also will do it. I wonder tonight, do you see your sinfulness? I ask myself this first. Do I see my sinfulness? God is a God of truth, and yet I am a one who is filled with lies and deceit. How many times in your life have you told a lie, verbally, practically, vocally, by exaggeration, by understating things? Once, 10 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times? How many times do you and I deserve the intensity of that torment to be multiplied for your and my lies? But yet tonight, do you not see the beauty of Christ? Do you not see him who is God the Son, come down to this earth, take upon himself humanity, so he could suffer as the God-man. Could suffer the wrath of his Father, the equivalent of hell forever, for every single lie. Every single one. Die there in our place. Do you not see the love of Christ to us? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Of course, you can lie also by being ambiguous. You can say the right words, but yet you say it in a very unclear way. For example, in John chapter 2, verse 19, we read about Jesus Christ had cast people out of the temple because of their sin. And we read about how chief priests come to him and says, what's the sign of your authority for doing all these things and casting all these people out? And Jesus Christ turned around and said, this is the sign that I'll give you. I'll destroy the temple and rebuild it again in 3 days. And John 2 makes it very clear that he's speaking about the temple of his body. However, at the end of Christ's ministry, we read about how people come to Jesus Christ, stand their judgment, and they accuse Jesus Christ and said to the Sanhedrin, he said that he would destroy the temple of God and build it again in 3 days. Now, the words were right. The words were accurate. But they implied it to the physical building and not to his body. They were ambiguous. Saying what was right and true, but implying it in a different way. You know, can you imagine maybe a time when if your father came to you and said, did you put that bin out? Yeah, I put the bin out, Dad. Now, your dad was referring to this week and you were referring to 3 weeks ago whenever you put that bin out. Oh, it's easy to laugh, isn't it? God says it is disgusting, abhorrent, and abominable in my sight. And we are not to lie. But I ask you tonight, how many times have you lied? How many times have you deserved hellfire to be increased in intensity for all eternity without any escape? And yet, the wonderful gospel is that Jesus Christ came and died in our place. Jesus Christ suffered his wrath, the Father's wrath, in our place, so we wouldn't have to pay it. And he offers to you and I tonight free salvation, free forgiveness. promises that make us perfect in His Father's sight. I haven't got time to go into much more, but let me just mention that not only are we not to lie, but we are to tell the truth. That's the opposite. Now, we are to tell the truth lawfully. You know, the commandments do not contradict one another. You will never be placed in a situation where you will have to break one commandment in order to keep another. They work as a united whole. You see, we read in Jeremiah about how Jeremiah the prophet was brought in before the king Zedekiah, and King Zedekiah turned around and said certain things and told Jeremiah, now whenever you go out of this room, people are going to ask you what I was telling you about, but I don't want you to tell them. Now there's nothing wrong in what the king was telling him, and indeed nothing wrong in the commandment. Does that mean whenever Jeremiah went out that he was just to tell everyone what they asked him? No. He was to honor those in authority. That's the fifth commandment. And he could only tell, therefore, what he was allowed to tell. You see, sometimes you and I are to withhold information, but we are never to lie. Jeremiah did not go out there and say, the king told me nothing. And why does somebody say, I can't tell you? But I wonder tonight, how many times has someone told us something, nothing that's criminal, by the way, but something that's personal, and yet you and I have went out and blabbed it all around, or told someone that we shouldn't have? It's breaking this commandment. But while there's times when you should withhold information to keep the commandment, yet there's other times you should give sufficient information to keep the commandment. For example, in Genesis 12, Abraham was going down there to Egypt, but he feared the Egyptians because his wife was beautiful. And he thought, well, they're going to kill me to get her. And so whenever he was asked, what relationship is she to you? He turned, well, she's my sister. Now, Sarah was his half-sister, that was true. But it wasn't enough information to keep them from lusting after her and committing adultery with her. So he only told part of the truth to save his own skin. And how many times have you only told part of the truth to save your own skin? For your own advantage? Maybe you should have told a lot more. We're to tell the truth lawfully, we're also to tell the truth lovingly. You see, whenever Jesus Christ summed up the second part of the law, he turned around and he said, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And therefore, whenever we tell the truth, we're to tell it lovingly. What we say is to be loving. It's to be for in love for our neighbor. That's why Philippians says, whatsoever things are good and pure, just and righteous, of good report, if there be any praise, speak of those things. But I wonder tonight, how many times have you and I spoken about that which is impure? Maybe we saw something on the news about someone committing adultery, and we went and we told someone about it, but we glamorized it, we sought to picture it with the other person. We're not speaking about that which is pure for their benefit. No, it's been detrimental to the person because you're speaking about that which is impure and glamorizing that. Enjoying sin. Also, why we say it. It's not only what we say is to be true, but why we say it's to be in love. You know, Satan told the truth. Well, part of the truth anyway, whenever he spoke to Eve. He said, whenever you eat of that forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened. And that was true, your eyes would be opened. But he did not say that because he loved her. He said that to destroy her. And what are many times have you actually said something about someone? You told what was true, but you said it not because you loved them, because you were jealous of them, because you wanted them to be slandered and brought down. You told other people about so-and-so's faults, so you'd be promoted above them. But let me just mention lastly, we've seen we're not to lie, but surely we can see in that how many times we've sinned, or even get a small glimpse of it. We're seeing that we're to tell the truth lovingly, sufficiently, lawfully, but also in occasions within limitations. But notice with me, whenever we're to tell the truth, who is the truth? Who is the truth? God's commandments are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. That means we're to tell the truth for the benefit of our neighbor. But who is the truth? Who is the one Philippians 4 talks about as right and just and good and pure, of virtue and of good report? Who is the one that's full of praise? Did Jesus Christ not say, I am the truth? And tonight, God commands me, and he commands you, to proclaim Christ to this world. To proclaim him with our lips. And to proclaim him with our lives. I wonder tonight, as I finish, do you proclaim Christ with your lips? Do you tell him to other people the salvation there is in him? That you belong to him? Or do you hide it? And tonight, do you proclaim him with your life? Oh, someone could say, well, I send my children to Sunday school. Or I encourage my friend to come to your fellowship. I tell them they need to be saved, but yet at the same time, you're not saved yourself. And yet by your life, you may, by your lips, you may say Christ is worthy of all, but yet by your life you're saying he's not worthy of anything because he's not worthy of my life. Tell me tonight, are you living for Christ and therefore proclaiming him to this world that he is the great Savior worth everything? Or are you not? See, tonight we're not to bear false witness against anyone. Anyone. And tonight, if you and I have seen our sinfulness, if God was to judge us according to this one commandment, not to mention the rest of them, just one commandment, would you deserve heaven or would you deserve hell? And if you deserved hell, which certainly I do, how greatly do you deserve hell? How great do you deserve that torment to be? And yet tonight, Jesus Christ, he came down to this earth to take upon himself our suffering and our pain and our punishment so that we could be forgiven. Tonight, do you see the love of God to you? And tonight, at this praise service, can you say, I praise him who loved me. I praise him not merely with my lips. I praise him with my heart. I praise him with my life. And while I know I will fail, yet, Lord, help me, I cry, to praise you with my all. What's the state of your heart tonight as we finish? Is it one that loves Christ who has first loved you? Is it one who tells the truth and proclaims Christ? Or is it one who doesn't proclaim him, doesn't love him? Those who love lies will end up in hell. Tonight, Christ has died to save and to forgive us, to redeem our lives from destruction. What a wonderful Savior. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. The Lord bless his word to your heart and to mine tonight. Just hand back.
Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in closing in prayer. We do thank the Reverend Foster for bringing his word, very applicable word to our hearts tonight. The Lord has helped him to do that. I trust and pray that the Lord will lay that word on your soul. If you're not saved tonight, it is our prayer. This praise service will be the meeting that you'll get right with God and that you'll come and know his forgiveness and pardon for all sin. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for thy speaking voice. We bless thee for thy word tonight. We thank the Lord thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And Lord, it's all because of Christ. For thou art just, the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. We thank thee that the Savior on that cross was to bear the full penalty and punishment that our sin deserved. Yea, the sin of lying, as we have been considering this night. We ask, O God, that those in this house would consider how great sinners we are. They would consider yet what a great Savior that is presented to us in the gospel and in song tonight. And Lord, we thank thee for a wonderful and great salvation that the sinner can experience. We pray that thou might speak to those that are still not saved. And tonight might be a night of their deliverance from the bondage of sin. Father, bless us, we pray. Thank thee for the good things that are provided. Help us to eat and drink to thy glory. Bless our further time of fellowship together. Later on, bring each one home in safety. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.